Good afternoon. Am I coming through okay? Okay. Well, here we are again in this beautiful mountain setting. I don't think we need the loudspeaker. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay. So, I'm sure we all know we're not all here just to enjoy the scenery or that lovely falling snow we see outside right now. People give many reasons to engage in the practice of Zen Buddhism. But the Buddha's message is clear. For the Buddha and for the ancestral teachers, the aim of practice is enlightenment. The same realization of the great truth of things that the Buddha realized. And to live out of that realization for the benefit of all beings, all that breathes and does not breathe. For this session, we'll be going back to what Robert Aitken Roshi established as a kind of tradition, and it was continued by Daniel Henry Roshi, although it's not been followed lately. The first teisho of session, that is this one, will be on case number one in the Wu Men Guan, Zhao Zhou's dog. The second will be on the Fukan Zazengi, a universal recommendation for the practice of Zazen by Master Dogen. Thus we address both our Linji or Rinzai and Saotong or Soto traditions. And while this talk is on the Koan Mu, please don't fall into the trap of been there, done that. No one ever really gets through Mu any more than you get through Zazen. It is the practice of lifetimes. In fact, if you are so inclined, it might be well to drop whatever subsequent koan you are working on and go back to Mu for a while anyway. For those who are not working on koans or have not worked on koans, Mu is still relevant to your practice. Your search for your true nature is no different from the search for Mu. In many talks, writings, and teachings of Zen, the emphasis is often on just letting everything be. This is entirely true. However, for many, myself included, particularly in the early years of practice, that direct realization is simply not to be found. The great letting go is arrived at only through long years of hard practice and training, which will include deep, dark nights of the soul, the initial enthusiasm of the beginning practitioner is hijacked by doubts, discouragement, turmoil, and even anger. The Buddha himself, even after thousands of lifetimes as a bodhisattva, and in his last rebirth, years of intense practice, found himself under the Bodhi tree, experiencing a night of torture, temptation, and self-doubt. It's sometimes necessary to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. As the old gospel song has it, you got to cross that lonesome valley. You got to cross it by yourself. Ain't nobody going to cross it for you. You got to cross it by yourself. Nowhere in the practice of Zen does this become more evident than in working on the koan, Mu. Zhao Zhou's dog, or Mu as it is called, is most commonly used as the initial koan, sometimes called the breakthrough koan. It is the first koan one faces if one decides to take up koans. Now, one point of working with koans is to get the mind into the habit of questioning, the questioning of everything, even one's very existence. This is not about finding answers. It's not a scientific inquiry, but an intense spiritual one. This spiritual quest has no ultimate answer, certainly not as we normally think of it. It is about living a question. A question with no answer leads to the condition of not knowing. It is this not knowing that is the basis of spiritual practice. The case reads, a monk asked Zhao Zhou, does the dog have Buddha nature or not? Zhao Zhou replied, moo. As with all the cases in the Wu Men Guang, Master Wu Men includes a commentary and verse. But we'll leave those aside for the moment and consider the case. A monk asks, does the dog have Buddha nature or not? Why would a monk, who has presumably studied Zen for some time, ask such a ridiculous question? Anyone who has attended one of our seminars could answer easily. Of course, all beings have Buddha nature. One can look at this questioning monk in a couple of ways. Maybe he is in a dark place, that dark night of the soul. He can find no sustenance anywhere. He's ready to pack it in, leave the monastery or leave the sesshin. His question is a cry from the heart of darkness into which he has fallen. I cannot find Buddha nature in myself or in anything. Tell me, Master, does even a dog have Buddha nature? Or maybe he is challenging the Master, hoping to trap him into a wordy explanation, or even a straight, yes, of course, which would be the doctrinally correct response. All beings have Buddha nature. How could they not? Another translation reads, is the puppy Buddha nature or not? This takes it another step. It is no longer has or has not, but is or is not, about existence itself. However, Zhao Zhou does not answer the question. He transcends it. Zhao Zhou does what the teacher must do. He responds to the student, not by answering the question, but by responding in the moment, appropriately, instantly, as a mirror reflects what comes before it. The student asks about Buddha nature. Zhao Zhou shows Buddha nature in that one word, mo. The practice of Mu is like no other. It is primitively, brutally simple. You can do nothing whatever with the intellect or any aspect of the conscious mind. That is why it's so difficult, but also effective. Mu is ground zero. It is the starting point of a genuine enlightenment practice. It stands like a tower of adamant, with no entry point, no handholds, nothing to grasp. It is impervious to any thought, concept, theory, or speculation. The goal of working on Mu or any enlightenment practice, if we can talk that way for a moment, is the psychic avalanche we call Kensho. It is a seismic shift in one's entire worldview, the universe turned inside out. This Kensho, however, is not the end of practice by any means. It establishes a firm basis for practice. In working on Mu, one begins with what has been called mother hen practice. One simply sits with Mu, quietly breathes Mu with every exhalation. It's very much like counting the breath, except the numbers all become Mu. As the practice continues, it becomes more and more finely focused on Mu, with increasing alertness, rather like a cat watching a mouse hole. And every once in a while, the question comes up, what is Mu? That's the tricky part. Because as soon as we ask a question, we start casting about for answers. That's how the mind works. We're not comfortable with unanswered questions. Our discursive mind wants answers. It wants answers in order to get rid of the question. As practice continues, one no longer need to explicitly ask, what is Mu? Mu itself becomes the question, a deep mystery that one must plumb to the bottom, except there is no bottom. In his commentary, Wu Men says that you must cut off the mind road. Well, questioning Mu is cutting off the mind road. Noodling around with answers is the mind road. Don't try to figure anything out. Ultimately, you are forced to go beyond the thinking, discursive mind and face that question that has no answer. To live a question that has no answer. One sits with that question, Mu. One becomes the question, Mu. Mu is no longer a word. It has no meaning, and yet encompasses all meaning. In order to see Mu clearly, to see that you are Mu itself, you must give up the self, or see the self for the empty construct that it is. Yet it is only by a supreme effort of the will, that is, of the ego self, that we continue in our practice deeper and deeper into Mu. As is often said, you can't sit by the side of the road and wait for your house to come by. You must walk the road. Are you willing to truly let go your hold on the cliff, with hands open, to fall into the abyss of your practice? Not just once, but time and time and time again, with every breath, every Mu. Master Wu Men said that during the 6 years he worked on Mu, that he occasionally banged his head against the pillar in order to stay awake. I suspect it was also to drive away the extraneous thoughts that invariably come up. Wu Men says that it's like swallowing a red-hot iron ball. You try to vomit it out, but you can't. Desperate measures for desperate times. There are stories of monks and nuns sitting all night outdoors in sub-freezing weather, running barefoot through the snow, diving into icy streams, spending the night sitting in a tree. This is not to say that I recommend any such extremes, but neither do I condemn them. Or maybe one practices sinking into mu, like sinking into a hot tub after a long day. The point here is whether you are working on mu, just sitting, on koans or the breath, that you do what is necessary. Not out of fear or desire to get something somewhere. You've already made that one decision, and that is to come to this shashin. Do what is necessary in this moment. All this may sound like I'm taking a really hard line. That's because I am. Shashin is not self-indulgence. It is self-sacrifice to make sacred in the deepest sense. You have to roll up all your thoughts, hopes, fears, and dreams into one little ball and cast it into the flame of your zazen. Again and again and again with every breath. It is what we must do regardless of what our practice is. All those doubts, fears, hopes, and dreams come together in this very moment. There may be fear. This is not surprising. To let go of this illusory but most precious self is a death far more terrifying than mere physical dissolution. You maintain complete focus on mu. But at the same time, you are open to all sensations. It's not about trying to blank out everything. It's not sensory deprivation. In fact, as you sink into mu, or as you sink into any practice, you will find that your perceptions are heightened because you are not caught by anything. In mu, or the breath, or the koan, or just sitting, you are freely open to everything. It's not listening. If you listen, you're seeking outside yourself, latching onto one sound after another. That's the self going forth to confirm the 10,000 things. Dogen calls that ignorance. Being open is hearing. You allow all sounds to enter and to pass through like the wind blowing through you. This is allowing the 10,000 things to confirm the self. Dogen calls that enlightenment. Be open to mu, to the light, to the sounds, to the air. All the sensations of the body. Mu is the gateway to the unknown and the unknowable. It is the unknown and the unknowable. And yet, it is directly in front of you. You become mu. Mu becomes you. Actually, there's no becoming. You eventually recognize, recognize, relearn this very self as mu, inherent Buddha. Whatever the circumstance, whatever the mood, there's mu right in front of you and within you. In his verse on the faith mind, Sung San says, "The empty mind takes note of all it perceives." Yes. If an ox comes, an ox is reflected. If a horse comes, a horse is reflected. The same applies to the pain in your knees, the stiff back, the weariness, the sun and shadow on the walls of the zendo, the falling snow. Mu is alone, but it is not lonely. Mu acknowledges pain, but it is not in pain. Moo knows restlessness, but it is not restless. Moo realizes torpor, but it is not torpid. Moo knows anger, but it is not angry. Moo experiences thoughts, but it does not think. Moo knows joy, but it is not joyful. Moo knows sadness, but it is not sad. Moo recognizes movement, but it is unmoving. Moo sees stillness, but it is not still. Moo realizes all dharmas, all phenomena, but it is none of these. And yet there is the question. What is Moo? It is this question, this not knowing, that you must realize, make real. Wu Men says that in realizing Moo, you walk hand in hand with the masters, eyebrows entangled. You do that as you come forth as Moo every moment. Enlightenment is not just the great aha that we read about. Even if it happens, you cannot rest on that moment. It's what comes after. You must come forth and demonstrate your realization. At first in Doksan, under rigorous testing by the teacher, and then in the even more rigorous testing of your life. So where does this Moo come from? If it was just a word said by a guy named Zhao Zhou, he was totally wrong. Where did this Moo arise? It's a major point of this koan. It's the same point when the Buddha said, I and all beings have in this moment attained the way. If that was just said by a guy named Siddhartha, he was wrong. Where do such things arise? Such things as Moo, are the words of the Buddha. What about good morning? Or pass the salt? Zhao Zhou says, Moo. He comes forth as Moo. Moo comes forth as Zhao Zhou. Moo, the monk, Zhao Zhou, the dog, are not separate. Nor is any one of us. Moo, Zhao Zhou, the dog and the monk, are here in this moment. They, you and me are all this moment. Zazen is thought of as introspection, deep concentration on the breath, the koan, or whatever, to the exclusion of all else. But when body and mind drop away, there is no internal as opposed to external. The mind expands to include mind in all caps. All that breathes and does not breathe. Wu Men writes, inside and outside become one. The observer has melted away. This is the great opening up. The skin bag drops away and the whole world comes forth as a great miracle. As the song says, the planets are paralyzed, the mountains are amazed. It is you yourself who are amazed. The one-pointed focus on Moo, or the breath, or the koan, or the city, becomes an opening up to everything. The mind opens as a flower blooms, and you discover the samadhi of innocent delight. Trust your practice. Trust Mu. Let yourself fall off the cliff with each breath, each Mu, each moment of sitting. Together with all beings, we realize
move.